Welcome to Crypto Kid Podcast. So today I have a special guest, Amosing, and we're going to be talking about his ventures in the blockchain technology and Web3 and the things that are going on in the market today. Thank you, Amosing, and it's an honor to have you. And just please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got in the space.
Yeah, looking forward to chatting with you more. So for me, I've been kind of anti-crypto for the most of my life. You know, when it originally came out, I didn't quite understand it. I didn't quite research it. And I used to be very against, cryptocurrencies of any sort, because I'm usually against hype, right? And I've seen that in the stock market. That's kind of what I do for a living, where you see a bunch of stocks come in and people start buying them up. And we saw that in GME, AMC, and then the whole in 2020 and 2021, when we saw the NFT craze and all of that going, I knew that it's not really going to end well. But at the same time, I think that was the best environment for me to do my research, because that made me pretty clear on, okay, what's actually hype versus what's actually real. And that's kind of how I started looking into cryptography, looking into cryptocurrencies, and looking into maybe stuff outside of Bitcoin and Ethereum that people usually don't talk about or look at or consider altcoins, right? For me, it was all about kind of finding the promise of crypto. Right, the promise of crypto was tokenization, that everything's going to be tokenized, from stocks, real estate, all of that, and real world use cases, like what's actually going to power the financial systems of the world. So I was looking at it from that regard, and that's when I started doing my research in like 2021. And I contacted a bunch of different professors, University of Wharton Business School, University of Pennsylvania, kind of chatted with people way smarter than I am, because I'm an investor, right? For me, mm-hmm. It's more about making the right investment decisions, not really about building something on the technology, rather what other people are building. So that's kind of how I got my start, when I really started looking into that in more detail.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So what kind of projects are you working on today?
Right now, for me, I trade the stock market for a living. I provide training, education for other people getting into the stock market. And then I have an investment in the crypto space. It's a coin called Algorand. So that's kind of my only position in the cryptocurrency landscape. And that's how much I believe in it. It's like, I don't have investments in other diversification and all of that. I really hone down on one, Algorand, because things are already happening on that blockchain, right? I mean, you could actually invest in real estate, right, on Algorand blockchain. So there's, let's say, a bunch of different properties, and you can't, let's say, buy the whole thing. You can buy tokens. You can buy slices of that property. So that property could be divided into like 100,000 slices, and we could all own a piece of that real estate. So what that allows is, that allows us for diversification, because now you can have a small piece of a bunch of different properties around America, around the world. There's Airbnbs now that are also listed on that blockchain. So the project's called Lofty AI. And in that, you could invest in tokenized real estate. But the best part is, you get paid rent every single day, because it's a blockchain, it's tokenized. So you don't have to wait till the end of the month. Every single day, whatever the proportional rent is, gets deposited right into your Algorand account. So those are some of the projects that I'm really watching and looking into right now.
Okay. Now, this seems kind of a little strange, because when you, like, you just own a piece, like, what if there's someone that owns a bigger piece than you? Like, so do they get paid more?
Yeah, you'll get paid in proportion to what you hold, right? So if you own five slices of that property, then whatever the rent comes out to be, let's say the overall rent example is, let's say, $1,000. So that'll get divided into each piece accordingly, equally. And you can always buy more pieces, and you can also sell it too. So you can sell your property piece to somebody else. So there's actually market for that. There's a whole value for that. So that allows liquidity in real estate, which is amazing, because if you own a whole property and, let's say, you need money right now, you can't just sell it in the day. You have to go find a broker. You got to list it on the market. There's a whole process. People come see the property. None of that over here. You can sell it right on the market, your token.
So how many renters does this blockchain have?
That's a lot. Like, I mean, it's growing every day. They added more properties. They added Airbnbs. There's some vacation rentals. There's actual houses. And the good part about this, this platform is that you have access to all the details, meaning who's renting it, how much they're paying per rent. And then it's also done using a DAO, meaning, let's say, somebody is not paying the rent. Now, the votes will go out to everybody. everybody will get to vote on that piece on, do we kick the renter out? Do we give him a little bit more time? And based on how many slices you own, you're allowed to vote accordingly. So you're basically governing the property too, which is, I think that's the power of decentralization. You know, let's say some repair needs to be done on the property. All of the slice holders get to vote on which contractor we're going to pick, what we're going to do with it, how much we're going to pay for that. That is decentralization. And I'm not seeing that happen in any other blockchain but Algorand.
Wow, that's really interesting. How many properties do you have?
I have a lot. I have a few. You know, that's really about decentralization is that, you know, you can own a lot of different properties around the world. And it's also, you got the privacy too in that. So where you can either show a portfolio or not show a portfolio. I like to keep mine private in that regard, but I own.
Yeah, I
also have physical real estate too. That's why I see the benefits of this, but this is way better. I own like vacation rentals and Airbnbs in India and London, right? I have a bunch of different actual properties, but I'm like, why would anybody buy a whole property now going forward when you could literally own slices of it, sell your slices, change your mind. And I think that offers a lot more flexibility, which is, I think this is going to change the game for real estate investing in the down the line.
Dude, I am so interested. I've been wanting to get into real estate for a long time, but the problem is it's just raising up enough capital to, like what you're saying, gain a full piece of property and then having them get an agent and things like that. But, you know, that's a really good idea, bro, because I'm planning on going to New Hampshire this summer and do boat rentals up there. And how much would an Airbnb cost me to get up there for using that platform?
You can buy as low as $50. That's the best part. You can buy one slice for like $50.
Okay.
And each slice will have its own market value too. So let's say the property goes up in value. Now that slice could be worth, instead of 50, worth 54. So you can always sell the slice too. So you can get not only the rent, but also the appreciation in the property. So there's a market for each slice. I think the minimum is $50 to invest. But now, you know, somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of money, but you, let's say, have $1,000, you can buy a bunch of different properties for that, right? And then each of those slices will have a market value. So you bought it for 50, but now everybody's moving to Florida, right? Now that slice went up to 54. So you just made money on that as well.
So say if I buy a whole property through the blockchain, will I be able to move in to it, to the piece of property, or no?
No, because they never sell you all of the property, okay, right? Some property will be taken by the person who's actually listing it. So maybe he'll own 30% or half of it. And then half he'll release to the public.
Okay, but he gets to still stay in that property though, right?
Yeah, but he wouldn't stay in the property because you want to generate income. So you would get renters to stay in the property so other people can actually get rent. And you can see the expected returns and all of that. It's very detailed. When you're investing in the property, they show you the address, they show you all the pictures, they show you all the details, how much repair has been done. So you have access to all the information like you would with any other real estate. In fact, even more, because with physical property, you'll have to go there, you have to find out, you have to look at the property papers, whereas here, all the papers, everything is uploaded online. And there's other companies like that too. There's another company I think called Slice Space, which lets you do the same thing with commercial properties as well. So all of that's happening on this Algorand crypto, which is why I'm bullish on that cryptocurrency long term.
Okay. Yeah, you said earlier that you're only focused on Algorand. Why is that? Aren't investors supposed to be like diverse in their investments, like have a little bit of everything? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do that with the stock market, right? So for me, stock market, I have a bunch of different stocks that I'd invest in and I diversify myself. But when you're like, you know, now and again, you come across a few things that you know, give you a lot of confidence. Like Tesla was one of my biggest confidence plays, you know, and that long-term has done extremely well. So same thing here, because when I just look at the facts, every time I think about diversifying in the cryptocurrencies, I'm like, should I buy a little bit of Ethereum? Should I buy a little bit of that? But then I look at the facts, I'm like, but this is like just way better than, I always end up just buying more of that. So that's just personal preference. It is speculative though. Nothing in cryptocurrency world is a sure thing. Everything is we're still very, very early, right? I think still very early. It's like the early stages of the internet, right? When you had MySpace and you had AOL, and then they were beaten by MSN, Yahoo, and then now Google, right? And now Facebook. I think that same thing is going to happen with the cryptocurrencies where, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, let's say they're the AOL or they're the MySpace of this industry. But then better, faster technology comes in, right? Which will eventually trumpet like Google and Facebook.
All right. So what are the biggest mistakes that people make in investments with real estate or stock market? Like going back in like 2008, the real estate collapse, and now they're actually predicting it again. So with this real estate investment that you're involved with, do you think it's gonna be able to beat the real estate bubble in a sense?
Yeah, I don't think we're in a real estate bubble at all, because there's so many people that are just waiting and sitting on the sidelines waiting to buy, right? They're not able to buy right now because the prices are very high. Mm-hmm. So as soon as prices come down, people will come out and start buying again, which will bring the prices back up. So this is, I don't think there's any similarity to 2008, because 2008 was when we wrote loans to people who couldn't pay them, right? Okay. Not happening this time. This time is just prices are high because everybody's buying. It's very different to 2008, where the banks were writing loans to people that didn't exist. People had no credit. They had no job. We're not doing that right now. So I think I don't think there's going to be a real estate bubble, at least not for the next 5 years.
Okay. What is the one thing that can really impact all areas of someone's life?
I think that kind of goes back to, you know, which area of life, like if it's business, trading, investing, the main thing is integrity, right? Like being a person of integrity, which is doing what you said you're going to do and then doing it when you said you're going to do it. I mean, just think about how much your quality of life would be better, like if you did every single thing you said you're going to do and you completed it when you said you're going to do it. And I think a lot of people will say, you know, but I'm a person of integrity. I'm like, really? When is the last time somebody called you and you said, hey, I'm just in the middle of something, let me call you back, and you never did, right? Or you ran up into an old friend at a mall or airport. You're like, hey, good to see you, buddy. We should totally catch up. And then you make no attempts to ever catch up with them, right? Or you say, oh, I'm going to go to the gym for Monday. And then comes Monday and don't do anything about it. So that's a lack of integrity. And that affects not only your life, but also your business, your companies, your employees will not, you know, trust you or think of you as a leader. So I think those things affect every area of your life, including investments. If you say, hey, my target for this investment is X price, whatever that price is, and it gets to that price and you don't get out, oh, maybe it'll go higher, right? Or maybe it's, you buy an investment, it's going down in price, and rather than getting out and taking a loss, small loss, you keep holding. Maybe it'll come back up. Maybe it's not a strategy, right? So you should be a person of your word, which is when you said you're going to do something, you should just do it.
For sure. Your word does mean a lot to people. And then when you break that, it kind of breaks, you're breaking trust with that person. And they look at you different. Like I've done that before. And then looking back at it, like as I get older, I'm just like, man, I wish I really didn't do that, because I probably would have had like a really good friendship right now, later on down the line. But it's a lesson learned though, for sure.
We all do that. We all do that too. It's not like we're never going to do it. I do that sometimes too. The key is just to recognize when you've done something like that. And then rather than apologizing for it or saying, oh, I won't do it again, because guess what? You will do it again, right? Mm-hmm. So you just have to put things in place to ensure it doesn't happen again. So that could mean, you know, for example, if you're somebody who's running late to meetings or something like that, well, make sure you're using a calendar. Make sure the time is scheduled out. Or if you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to do this in my business. Well, make sure it has a time slot on your calendar, right? Hey, 3 to 4, I'm going to work on this. Oh, I'm going to work out, right? Okay, so 5 to 6, I'm going to work out. Because if it's not on your calendar, if you didn't schedule it, it's not going to happen, right? So you have to do that rather than kind of saying, oh, I won't do it again, because we'll end up doing it again. We're humans.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for young men and women that are in the early 20s that have the 9 to 5 or the busing job, and they really want to start a business, but they're just like everything's rough for them, the rough start, the rough upbringing. How do you encourage someone to get out of that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, just look at history, right? There's people who've had it worse than those people, mm-hmm. who've actually ended up making it, right? I mean, if you look at history, it's full of examples of people who were poor, came from broken households, came from, you know, trauma in their childhood, something bad happened, but yet they still overcome it. So first thing is to recognize that your current situation is not going to be your future situation. It can be changed. Because if you don't believe it in yourself that it can be changed, then it's almost impossible to change it. So first you have to believe And the way you believe that is by looking at examples in history and saying, okay, all of these people did it, so I could do it too. That's step number one. All right, step number two is having a plan. So you might have a job right now that you don't really want to keep long term. That's okay. Still give it your best at your current job. Like, be the best you can be while still researching what you actually want to do, learning, taking online courses, right? YouTube videos, like audiobooks, read a lot of books, get all the information while you have your job. Because to start a business, you know, you need to have some sort of stability. Because the biggest mistake people make is they quit their job to start a business. Now they don't have any savings. And now you're like making bad decisions because you want to make quick money, right? So you have to have some money saved up. So in your current job, save some money, at least 10, 20% of what you're getting from your salary. Just tuck it aside. Don't even look at it, right? Tuck it aside, put it to the side so that maybe a year, 2, 3 years from now, you have a decent amount of money saved up that you can actually go and start your business. And in those 3 years, your goal is to learn as much as you can about whatever your business idea is and to meet people too, right? Like, I came from India. So I mean, for me to start all of this, I mean, I didn't come from a great household. I came for $1,000 or $1,500 in my pocket to America, or to New York City, which like is expensive. But I met the right people. I hit up people on LinkedIn. Hey, you know, really love what you do. Could we grab some coffee? And, you know, out of 100 messages I would send, maybe 10 would reply, right? And out of the 10 that would reply, maybe 8 would say no. But the 2 that said yes, that's all I need. So you have to have a thick skin and, like, don't worry about rejection. Just kind of keep going.
Yeah, it's just about just trying and trying. And eventually something does break. You know, that's why they call it the big break. And for an example, there's this guy I'm mentoring. And I've known him since he was a kid. And throughout his whole life, it's been so easy for him. Now he's 18 and he's about to graduate high school. And he's just like, man, everything's moving just so fast. I don't know what to do. You know, like, he's working at a restaurant and it's just like, he's thinking about getting, I don't know, a plumber or electrician. I don't know, but one of those two. And I was like, well, if you're going to do that, go ahead and get your license, do what you got to do, bus tables. But if I were you, I would try to get an LLC, you know, so you could like basically work for yourself. Because like, it's always a hard thing to work for somebody. I've had some great bosses, but it's just like I'm more someone that likes to do things independently. I'm just like, you know, I'd rather hire employees to do stuff for me. I don't want to work for someone and make them richer, you know, because that's basically what employees are doing. And it's sad to say, if anybody ever works for me, I'm going to encourage you to like go and do your own thing. It'll only be temporary, I promise. But I want to be like one of those guys. You're just like, hey, you know, you could do this. You know, you don't need to rely on somebody. You can go out there and it's like what you said. It's a matter about finding the right people. And a lot of bosses don't want people to go out and start throwing things. Like when I was detailing boats, you know, I was thinking about going to start my own business detailing boats, which I did. And he's like, no, we need you, man. And they're literally trying to guilt trip, you know, like they offered me more money. I was just like, no. See, I know. Because I saw the invoices of what you guys are charging these people and what you're paying me, there's a big gap difference. So I was just like, it's just always better to do it on your own.
Yeah. Do that example of your friend, like, who's currently, let's say, at a restaurant, like, be the best you can be there for the time being. Because if you really go above and beyond, the tips actually will be more than your salary, right? Mm-hmm. You're actually providing great service. You're going above and beyond, not what everybody else is doing. Or not, but, you know, just giving them a nice service, because that's just your job. Go above and beyond. You're going to get tips that are going to be higher than that. And that'll help you save so that eventually you can leave. So I think that is one of the things to look at. And, you know, also like, for example, you and I have that bug, right? We want to do it ourselves. And that's perfectly fine. But not everybody is going to be like that. I think some people are really, really great inside an organization. They really are. When you let them on their own, they're not that great. Because you're on your own. You need to be self-motivated. You need to have self-discipline, because nobody's going to tell you what to do. You have to tell yourself what to do. And not everybody else is like that. Some people work well in the structure when okay, here's what you got to do. And they will be the best person. They'll go and execute on tasks. For example, like, I have a COO. He handles my business operations. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do the day-to-day stuff that he does. But he's really good at it and he enjoys those things. Now, what you need to do in your current job is to go at your boss and you need to ask them, okay, hey, what can I do to make more in this organization? Most people never ask their boss question. They just accept that this is the pay. Ask, hey, can I get a commission on every detailed job that I do? Right? I want 15% of every job in addition to what you're already paying me. And once you have that organization, you can actually start learning the business with somebody else's dime pretty much. Because when you learn on your own, you're making mistakes. It's your own money.
Yeah.
So you can learn from under somebody, make the money, save your money. Once you got it all down, then you can end up leaving.
For sure, man. For sure. And like another thing too, like when you're working for an organization, it could get competitive with your coworkers too. Like a little bit of jealousy goes on, and it gets tense. Honestly, it gets heated. It's just like, I'm a guy that likes to get along with everybody. And like the moment, like when someone starts hating on me and like start calling me a sucker, I was just like, come on, dude. Or like making my job even harder. I'm just like, we're all in this together, bro. Like it doesn't have to be that way. What are these some things coming up for you?
Coming up
in the future,
focusing on, you know, my audiobook came out on Audible and iTunes, and my book's already on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. So just been working on that. I've been speaking a lot more, different conferences. So for me, that's been more is just to try to give back as much as I can, all the things that I've learned in my journey, and just to try to share that with people, you know, podcasts like these, and just try to get out there a lot more, contribute to the people. Because you could, you know, you can be by yourself, make a lot of money, but I feel more fulfilled when I'm like contributing to others. And I think that's kind of what I'm on at the moment.
That's a good deal, man. That's a good deal. I appreciate you coming on the cast, and everything that you dropped on the links, definitely going to put that in the description down below. So is there any last words you want to share with people before we sign off?
No, I would just say that, you know, regardless of your circumstance right now, just know that it can change, but you got to be the one to change it. So you can't have that victim mentality of, oh, this is not that great or that great. Well, it's your duty to change it, right? And now it might take a long time to change it, but that's kind of how I would do it. And yeah, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, Instagram, Twitter, probably where I'm the most active. My username on both of those is Delta90, DeltaNinety. Don't ask me why. I had it a long time ago. Didn't change it. So that's the username we're going with. And yeah, if anybody's interested in getting into the stock market, livetraders.com would be the place to go to start getting your learn on.
But yeah, man. Hey, I look forward to having you on the show in the near future. And I'm going to think about going to get some real estate after we get off this. I'm going to go investigate this a little bit more. And you said pay daily. So yeah, whoever wants to get paid daily, that's always a good thing, having an income coming in every day.
It's a great thing. Get your salary, put a small percentage, put it in real estate. Don't worry about it. And you know, a few years down, you look back, you're like, wow, I didn't even realize, you know, $50 can go that far if you start putting it every week, every day, here and there.
Yeah, and make sure you reach out to him. And thanks for coming on the cast, bro. And yeah, have a great day.
You too, buddy. Have a great one.